This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, second hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing Tuesday. I'm going to get to some emails this hour. We'll talk about moderate Democrats. Trump White House indicates they're willing to negotiate a bit on the whole DHS shutdown. All that and so much more coming up on the second hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's get to some of these because I owe them to you. Hey, Jesse. For what purpose were 5,000 Marines deployed last Friday to Iran? We're getting in deeper and deeper. Not good at any level. Time is of the essence. Keep up your superb education efforts. Okay, so if you are a person, I'd say you're split 50-50 from what I can tell by the emails, but if you're a person who's real hesitant on Iran or dead set against it, the headlines have been out there, including ones today, of ground units being deployed to Iran. It was last week, headlines, 5,000 Marines being deployed to Iran. Today, the big cheese of the 82nd Airborne being deployed over there to Iran. I say to Iran, getting moved over to that part of the globe. And for people worried that we got there at all or worried that this is going on forever, this is just a big red flag that's causing panic attacks all over the place. And I'm not here to calm your panic. I'll say that. I'm not trying to calm your panic, but I will explain something that may ease your concerns. So I don't know that the Marines aren't going in, or that the 82nd Airborne isn't going in. I don't know that. I don't know that there's anybody who knows we're going in or we're not going in. I don't know that Trump knows we're going in or not going in. Meaning, I don't know that the decision has been made yet. But here's what I do know. We sometimes lose sight of logistics, of the movement of things. We lose sight of that in such a digital world where everything is instant to us. There's instant video, instant this. While I'm talking to you, I could pick up my phone and book a plane ticket to Miami. Everything is instant now. And when it comes to troop deployments, because we have such awesome air power and things like that, we think that we can just be anywhere instantly. Pause for a moment. The Roman Empire, don't worry, Chris, I'm going somewhere with this. You know the Roman Empire was one of the greatest empires of all time. No question. I personally think it was the greatest of all time when you look at the technological advancements and how long it lasted. But it doesn't matter. You and I could have a fun argument over some ice cream at a bar about that one day or another. But no matter what, unless you're a moron, you know it's one of the greatest empires of all time. And the Roman Empire, its military was famous forever. It's still famous. The Roman Legion. Isn't that a cool name for a unit, by the way? The Legion. The Roman Legions. Famous. They'll march anywhere. And they were great. Don't get me wrong. The training was great and everything. They were great. Well equipped. All that. Very, very true. Do you know one of the biggest benefits the Roman Legions had over the countries around them? So lame, isn't it? Roads. Did you know that? Isn't that one of the lamest, least exciting things you've ever heard? Did you think I was going to say the spear or the type of armor or just the warrior spirit? But look, all those things played a part in it. But in other parts of the world, okay, I'll put it to you this way. I want you to picture your town, your city. All right? You there? Now, I want you to put a 90-pound pack on your back, okay? And I want you have a donkey. Oh, we'll call it a mule, more sure-footed. You have a mule, and you can load all your food and supplies on that mule, all right? Now, you're in your town, your city. Now, I want you to walk with that, what I just told you, 10 miles today. Could you get 10 miles today? I know 90 pounds is heavy and things like that, but you probably could. You may need some breaks. I understand that. You probably could. All right, good. Good for you. Now, I want you to go to the Himalayan mountains. Same pack, same mule. Could you go 10 miles today? You could not. Roads are way more important than you think. The Romans dominated so much of their part of the world because when they got to a place, they built things quickly that allowed them to move to and fro. So while you and your 200,000 barbarian army were hacking your way through the woods and hiking through swamps and trying to figure this and figure that out, and guys are getting hungry and the wilderness is killing people and everything else, the Romans just built a road and they moved 10 times faster than you did. And by the time you showed up at the critical battlefield where you had to win, there's a big Roman fort sitting there because they got there 10 days before you got there, and now you are screwed. Logistics matter a lot. Why are we moving the 82nd Airborne, the Marines over to Iran? Again, I do not know what decisions Trump has made or not made when it comes to the deployment of ground troops. But what I do know is if Donald Trump wakes up tomorrow morning and he decides, I'm sending in the Marines to Karg Island or to clear out the mines in the Strait of Hormuz or something like that, only those Marines are sitting in 29 Palms, California. Well, they need some time, Mr. President. They're not going to be there today. They're not going to be there tomorrow. They have to get all their stuff. They have to. If you are going to make the decision to send in the ground troops in your President Donald Trump, you have to move them there first. Moving them there first gives you the freedom to make that decision if you end up making that decision. Maybe that eased your mind on things. Maybe it didn't ease your mind on things. I mean, the headline here has everyone panicking. Not everyone, but the people who are hesitant. Pentagon prepares 3,000 troops from Army's elite 82nd Airborne for the Iran war deployment. I mean, they are elite. They're not Marines, but they are. What, Chris? Seriously, the 82nd Airborne, they are studs. And you look at headlines like that and people who worry that we're getting in too deep, we're getting bogged down, that, what about gas prices? People who worry about those things read a headline like that and they think, well, a ground invasion is inevitable. No, you got to move them there first. Look, you can move them over there and plop them on a base over there where they can be 8 hours from shore if they have to be. And they can sit there and train like dogs, because they would. They train you hard when they think you're about to go into combat. I know, I experienced it. They're going to do nothing but eat and train and sleep and eat and train and sleep. And then maybe Trump and Iran come to an agreement. Oh, headline, Trump says the U.S. and Iran have major points of agreement, including no nuclear weapons. Maybe you and I wake up tomorrow morning and Trump and Iran have decided, hey, we're done here, right? Time to, we're done? You're done? I'm not saying that's going to happen. I don't think that's going to happen. But they might. Donald Trump can simply say, hey, Marines, 82nd Airborne, appreciate you making the trip. Go back home. We're good here. But you have to get them over there to give yourself the freedom to get there. And getting clear around the world. Remember, this is on the other side of the planet. When me and Jewish producer Chris and a bunch of you went over to do that Holy Land trip through Israel, Chris, was it like 16 or 17 hours or something like that to get there by air? These guys are traveling by boat for the most part, and they have to bring their equipment with them, and it just takes time. Do not panic. If you're one of these people who's concerned about it, I don't like it, it looks like we're getting in too deep, do not panic, all right? All right. Just let's keep Lindsey Graham off the television set. Let's calm down and let's understand that Trump understands the issue. All right. Trump understands the issue. The issue is coming to the forefront again. And now that we talked about that, we might as well discuss it again. Gallup has been tracking something for a long time. Long time. The question they've been tracking is, are you struggling in life or are you thriving? We'll discuss the results next.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. So I promised you some numbers. I'll give you the numbers, and I'm going to play something Trump said in case maybe you're down and out and you're panicking because the Marines and the 82nd Airborne, they're going to Iran. Okay, so here's the headline. This is from Interactive Polls. For the first time since Gallup began tracking it, more U.S. workers are struggling in life than thriving. This just, look, it goes along with everything we've been saying. Headline, 66% of independent voters say the Trump administration's not focused enough on domestic issues. Trump can read. He knows all these other things. As I've told you over and over and over and over and over again, the citizens of any nation at any point in history, they are okay with foreign adventuring if things are okay at home. If they feel good about things at home. If they don't feel good about things at home, they don't want to hear about any other country, far off lands, a threat around the globe. And it's always been this way. America's not unique right now. It has always been that way. When everything's tidy in your house, bills are paid, house is holding up well, that's when you stress about, honey, did you see the neighbors? Oh my gosh. When you have a leak, you're not paying the bills, water's coming out of the ceiling, there's a hole in the lawn for a sinkhole, you don't give a crap about the neighbor's house. We got to fix it. Since COVID, since the world collectively lost its mind and decided to stop moving over a chest cold, since that happened, the people of the world, specifically the people of the United States of America, will stay here, have watched a degradation of their standard of living. And this is not ancient history because COVID was so recent. You remember what it was like to be able to afford more things. You remember it. You remember when life was more affordable. It's still fresh for you. It's not, yeah, so Chris is talking about it last year, but it's fresh. We remember when things were better, when we felt richer, when your dollar went further. We remember. It's not just Donald Trump. Every politician for the foreseeable future will have to deal with that very, very ugly fact that people remember what it was like when life was more affordable. Therefore, if you are president and you choose to go foreign adventuring, you have to wrap it up and you have to come back home. Donald Trump is not a moron. He understands that. Donald Trump is out there. He gave this press conference today. What do you think he's doing here? What do you think he's saying?
Because they're going to make a deal. They're going to make a deal. They did something yesterday that was amazing, actually. They gave us a present. And the president arrived today, and it was a very big present worth a tremendous amount of money. And I'm not going to tell you what that present is, but it was a very significant prize. And they gave it to us, and they said they were going to give it. So that meant one thing to me, we're dealing with the right people.
Is that nuclear related?
No, it wasn't nuclear related. It was oil and gas related. And it was a very nice thing they did. But what it showed me is that we're dealing with the right people. Because, you know, you don't know. Because the leadership was killed, all gone.
Yeah, we got it. For the past several days, while moving troops into place, Donald Trump has gone to the media
multiple times over the last several days and said, we're wrapping it up. We've already won. We're negotiating. They're negotiating. We're dealing with people. We're wrapping it up. We're wrapping it up. We're negotiating. I might send in the Marines, but we're negotiating. We're wrapping it up. We're wrapping it up. We're wrapping it up. Donald Trump, he can't just come out and say, I want to go home, because then that puts him in a terrible negotiating position. He can't come out and say that. That's not possible. It would be dumb, frankly, to say that. He has to do what he's done so many times before. He has to come out and say, I might send in the Marines and kill every one of you, or I'll give you a lot of money, but I could kill you all, or a bunch of money. Here's $1 million, or I'll punch you in the face. Punch in the face, $1 million. He's going to do what he's always done. But Donald Trump can read. Donald Trump knows we are in dire trouble politically here at home if we continue to foreign adventure in an election year. We can't. It doesn't matter whether you love the Iran stuff or hate the Iran stuff. It cannot go on much longer, and he knows it, and he's trying to get it wrapped up. So if you are in a full-on state of panic that we are about to launch a ground campaign, I can't tell you that's not going to happen. Maybe it will. Those friggin' Iranians are nut jobs. Maybe they'll do something crazy. Again, as we've discussed, Israel's not ready to wrap this whole thing up. They don't want to wrap it up. Israel wants to go until Iran is completely wiped out, so they don't have to worry about them. There are all kinds of bad things that could happen. But what I've told you and what you already know, that we have to focus domestically, Donald Trump knows that too. The people sitting in the White House, they know that too. They're trying to get out. Donald Trump is looking for that off-ramp. I don't know whether it exists. I hope it does. But he's looking for it, and that's something. All right? All right. Now we'll do some more emails. Next.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. The subject of this one is physical. Jesse, call in sick to the physical, this guy says. Why don't you just call in sick? A physician would surely understand and support you. OB will have to wait a few weeks to own you and to ease the pain of your VO2 max ride. Reward yourself with a bowl of foo-foo ice cream at the bar after the ride. All right, so I told you I had my physical for this morning. I have some good news. I have some not so good news. I have some news that I'm not sure about. First of all, I'm not much of a detail guy. Don't nod your head, Chris. Chris is more the detail person. Ob at home is more the detail person. I'm just kind of give me the high points kind of a guy. I should have read the endless text messages the doctor's office sent, but I don't really read anybody's text messages for the most part. I show up today after fasting last night, because I had to fast. You know, you fast before a physical. So I show up today, starving, I might point out, and they tell me, oh, no, blood work isn't today. You can go do that some other time, schedule that some other time. Today's just all the physical measurement portions of it. So I'm sitting there starving. That's bad. Here's the good news. Told you there was some good news, and there is good news. Blood pressure, pretty good. I know, right, Chris? They went way more in-depth. Body mass index, good. Skeletal, muscular, whatever. They used a bunch of medical terms. Good. Grip strength, pretty good. Not to brag. My right was stronger than my left for some reason, but again, pretty good. So my physical stuff, pretty good. My hearing, pretty good. My vision, not that great. It is what it is. That was the good news. Then came this VO2 max thing. Do you know what this is? Chris, Corey, do you guys know what this is? Okay, you've heard of it. I was not fully aware. I've never done it. The idea behind it was this. They strap this thing over your face that covers your nose and mouth. Completely covers your nose and mouth. Seals it in. It's this piece of headgear they strap over you. And then you have to get on this bike, this exercise bike. They hook up this thing that's on your face to some computer, and they put a heart monitor on you, and they basically want you to start pedaling, and they increase the resistance, and they monitor your heart rate and how long you could go. And that, I'm not even sure everything they're monitoring, but that was the idea. You get on this thing with all this crap strapped to your face, and you start pedaling. All right. So, in my defense, I already pointed out to you that I had been fasting and I was starving by the time I walked in, right? Then it comes time to get on the exercise bike. I get on the exercise bike after getting all strapped in, and surprise, surprise, the technology takes a big old dump. The computer crashes. Oh, sorry, we have to reboot everything. Then I get back on the bike. Oh, no, looks like the heart rate monitor went kaput. Hang on, let us go grab another one. So again, I'm not making this up. There are now delays. I don't do great when I'm hungry. There are already delays. Finally, they get the computer up and running. They get the heart rate monitor up and running. And I have to hop on the exercise bike and start pedaling. And remember when I was complaining yesterday about bike seats? I am not Pete Buttigieg. I find it to be extremely uncomfortable. I don't ride an exercise bike. I don't ride a bicycle around town. Because I was never in the Navy. I do not find it enjoyable. It hurts my butt. I hop on the bike. I start pedaling. I have this thing covering my freaking face. I'm starving, and my butt is hurting immediately. The lady says, the nurse chick, she says, just pedal until you can't anymore, until you're too tired, and then tell me you're done, and then they have to do some cool down pedal process. I only went for 6 minutes. Now, in my defense, Chris, I see the look on her face. She said the longest anyone's ever gone is 15. They're increasing the resistance as you go. They're trying to burn you out. But Ab is upset. I wasn't nearly burnt out after 6 minutes. My legs were doing fine. What, Chris? Chris said, so I gave up after 6 minutes. Gave up is such a strong way to put that, Chris. That's not exactly how I would put that. After 6 minutes, I decided I was kind of done and ready to go get some food. No, I didn't quit necessarily, Chris. I did tell her, I think I'm done. And she gives me the eyebrow raise because, again, my physical testing was good. You know, she knew I was in at least decent shape. She said, you're done? And I said, yeah, I'm tired. I wasn't really tired. I was hungry and my butt hurt and I was not enjoying the experience any longer. So I lied. Don't roll your eyes, Chris. What? Chris, that's wrong what you just said about the bike seat. I'm not even going to tell everyone what Chris just said. Jewish producer Chris was just really inappropriate. I hope all the suits are listening and they know that Jewish producer Chris said something really inappropriate about the bike seat. Be that as it may. Ab is now concerned that me quitting so early is going to skew the results when I have to go see the doctor about what I did or didn't do. I explained to her that I'm just going to tell the truth to the doctor. look, I was hungry, and the bike seat needs to be fixed. There's something wrong with the bike seat, and I just quit. What, Chris? What? Oh, that's a very good point. Chris said if I tell the truth, he might make me redo it. That's a very good point. Wait and see how bad the results are, and think about this. Think about this. Let's say the results are terrible because I quit after 6 minutes. You know what that does? That sets the bar to make me look like a stud when I go back in a year from now and take another test. So next year, now that I've appropriately set the bar, next year I'll go for 7 minutes. And then the doc will be all, wow, you must have been working out. You went a full minute longer than you did the year before. And that's when I'll really go into the lies. Yeah, doc, I've been grinding hard, just out there worrying about my health, eating right, living right, doc. Yes, this is brilliant. Everything works out when you know the appropriate way to lie. This is going to work out great. So the physical went awesome. Blood work, apparently that's not coming for a while. I think I have to give it Friday or something like that. So got another couple weeks. We don't have any more moderate Democrats, and we'll discuss that problem because it's kind of a big problem. Before we discuss that problem, let me discuss with you having enough energy to go for 6 minutes on the VO2 max bike. You can only do that with a male vitality stack from Chalk. 4 years of a male vitality stack from Chalk has given me the superhuman energy I need to last for 6 minutes on the VO2 max exercise bike. Would you like that kind of pep in your step? Maybe even stretch it to 7 minutes next year? No, in all seriousness, you need testosterone. We are losing testosterone rapidly because we're drinking estrogens. We have to reverse this without pills and needles in our arm. We need natural herbal supplements. And my friends at Chalk, the anti-communists at Chalk, have been delivering this for people across the nation. Story after story, I have read you people emailing in saying, I'm basically a new person now. My energy, my mood, go experience it. Just try it. 90 days. If it doesn't work, cancel your subscription. C-H-O-Q. Chalk.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing Tuesday. You can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I don't want to dwell on this because we got heavy in the first hour last night, but there's a headline from Free Beacon. Mickey or Mikey Sherrill, I don't know, New Jersey, attends Ramadan services with an imam who faced deportation proceedings over alleged ties to Hamas and calls for a new intifada. All right. My only point with that was this. There is no such thing as a moderate Democrat now. The only thing that exists are Democrats who are smart enough to pretend to be moderate while they run. There is no such thing as a Democrat in the United States of America who will vote or govern as a moderate. The reason for that, as I laid out last night, is moderate voting Democrats do not exist anymore. They are rabid, America-hating communists. The Democrat Party, my buddy Aaron McIntyre said this. He put it really, really well. And so I'm going to pretty much copy him and rip him off and give him no credit whatsoever. But he said every part of the Democrat coalition is just a different group of people who hate the United States of America. Every single part of it. That's who makes up the Democrat voting coalition. Either you're one of these LGBTQ gay communists and you hate the fact the United States of America is Christian. You're at war with the church. Maybe you're a black communist and you hate white people and you've been oppressed. And you're at war with the United States of America and America's evil and you hate the country. Maybe you're a quote, climate communist and America makes oil and gas and so we're destroyed. Whatever. Doesn't matter. All parts of the Democrat coalition share the exact same view that the United States of America sucks, and therefore they demand their politicians burn the country down. Democrat politicians who are smart know that they can't run on that, and so they pretend to be reasonable. Try to be reasonable human beings while at the same time letting their voters know, I'm going to hurt this place the way you want me to. Let's meet some of the Democrat voting coalition.
Hi, you know me as Julie, but my full government name is Neum Kim Lam, and I am a United States citizen. I was born here in West Valley City in 1993. I am going to stand up to the United States government and start in a rebellion. We are currently participating in a genocide across the world, and I will not be a willing participant or citizen that allows for this to happen.
Iran, I just want to straight up tell you this. Kill Donald Trump, his wife, and his kids.
Now, Iran.
I should note that's a felony for all you communists thinking about saying that ever, privately or publicly. That lady just committed a felony. She's probably in prison as we speak.
You do know that your target is not New York City, right? Your target is Washington, D.C. and Mar-a-Lago. Okay? Don't miss like the last person. Okay?
You get the idea. That is the Democrat voting base. The liberal Aunt Peggy in your life. How separate is she or he from those voices you just heard? How different? That's the Democrat voter now. So I don't care what purple state you're in. I don't care what Gavin Newsom or J.B. Pritzker try to say on the campaign trail. The Democrat voter demands a commitment from Democrat politicians that they will hurt the country. They will hurt you. They'll hurt your family. They'll hurt your church. They want you hurt. It is a religion of vengeance and domination and destruction. And that's what the Democrat voter demands, a coalition of malcontents. There is no such thing as a moderate Democrat. It doesn't exist. In much the same way, it's hard to find a true anti-communist in the GOP. It's virtually impossible to find a true moderate in the Democrat Party. The voters won't allow it. I brought her up last night, Kristen Sinema, or Kirsten, I don't know how to say her dumb name. She was that Democrat who got elected in the purple state of Arizona. She got elected in a purple state. So it would be reasonable to assume that she's going to govern fairly moderately, right? She can't be AOC. She can't be Ilhan Omar. And she did. She knew she was from a purple state. So she got to Washington, D.C. and actually governed much more moderately than a normal Democrat would. She was there for 5 minutes and she got bounced out by her own party, a one-term senator. You know what that did? It sent a message to every other elected Democrat in the United States of America that moderation is not an option. If you don't believe me, I would invite you to go look at the primary Senator John Fetterman is facing in Pennsylvania. Now, you well know that I do not care for John Fetterman. He's a far-lefty nut job who knows how to say one or two reasonable things to fool you into thinking that he's somehow a normal human being, but he votes with the far left every single time. He's even against the SAVE Act. Yet, what mistake did he make to warrant so many Democrat challenges? He said one or two normal things. He said one or two normal things, and these ladies ran to the polls to bounce him from the United States Senate.
Hi, you know me as Julie, but my full government name is Neum Kim Lam, and I am a United States citizen. I was born here in West Valley City.
Chris just asked why she's out of breath. She walked across the hall.
In 1993, I am going to...
Remember, fat-bodied, not obese. That's the... Chris, that's what they requested. I didn't say that. She is not obese. Fat body.
Stand up to the United States government and start in a rebellion. We are currently participating in a genocide across the world, and I will not be a willing participant or citizen that allows for this to happen.
Apparently the rebellion is at Dunkin' Donuts. We have an hour left. We'll have fun. Hang on.